Welcome to the Docs Who Lift podcast, where we distill and simplify the complexities of a healthy lifestyle, exercise, medicine, and weight loss. We're excited to bring you a podcast that's a prescription for clinical practice, scientific recommendations, and just real life. This is the Docs Who Lift podcast.
Hey, welcome back to the Docs Who Lift podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Spencer Nadolski. You got my co-host, Dr. Carl. We are just together in Holland. It's Mother's Day today. Fresh, hot off the press, I should say. Not fresh off the press. Surmount 5. We talked about this before with top line results. It is.
And now everyone's like, what the hell is a surmount?
Yeah, surmount. Tirzepatide versus
Zepbound.
Yeah, Zepbound versus Wegovy. Talked about this before, but the gist that everybody already knew was that Zepbound is much more powerful in terms of weight loss and also categorical weight loss. So not only does it help people lose more weight, helps more people lose more weight in general. More people respond to it. So we're going to go over those quickly. Also, kind of interestingly, we're going to find out tomorrow morning, President Trump just announced that he's going to basically get all drug prices similar to what other countries get, because you can get Mounjaro or Zepbound from other countries for like $100. He claims in a tweet that was going to happen. So we'll have some experts, hopefully, in the future. Talk about that. So we don't know the news from that, but we do know news from Surmount 5.
I feel like that's a pretty bipartisan, everyone would support that effort, but I feel like there could be some political fallout, because otherwise I'm pretty sure that would have already happened. So there's got to be
I've been reading some experts. It goes beyond my understanding of economics, but there's a lot of very interesting things. And again, I can't even discuss it, because I don't really understand it. So we're going to see hopefully some more that comes out of that soon. It'd be really nice to get people the drugs for $100 to $200 cash price, but we'll see.
It'd be a lot better. That actually sets up this discussion, because a lot of what, we even had this discussion today about cost-effective therapy and how, I feel we have to be good stewards of our patients' money, but also the insurance money that's covering these things, even if we hate the insurance scheme that's going on. And, those with the most severe forms of obesity, with more complications, who will get the most benefit from substantial amounts of weight loss, should be the ones that get the more expensive medications, because that's more cost effective. Well, these are the two most effective medications we have as far as weight reduction, and obviously also originally approved for type 2 diabetes, great results for all the other obesity-related cardiometabolic diseases, tirzepatide approved for sleep apnea because it has substantial benefits, Wegovy in the form of Ozempic for type 2 diabetes, approved for now kidney benefits.
We're gonna see for the liver, like our last podcast that we just talked about too.
It'll get the approval for liver, for fatty liver, etc., and obviously the cardiovascular risk reduction. So I think let's just start off and set up a little background as to why we know that tirzepatide or Zepbound is more potent as far as weight reduction. Step one, the trial for semaglutide had about 2,000 patients, was for 68 weeks. It was randomized 2-1, semaglutide versus placebo, and on average had about 15 versus 2.5% weight loss. So that's kind of the background of that. Now,
active versus placebo.
Yeah, so compared to, say, liraglutide, the daily version that came out long before it, there was the step 8 that only had 340 patients in it, and it basically compared the two versus placebo, and it was 16% weight loss with semaglutide or Wegovy versus 6.5% for liraglutide or Saxenda, and the usual 2% for the placebo plus lifestyle arm, just to give a little bit of relativity there, I guess. Then, of course, came the Surmount One with tirzepatide, the GLP-GIP agonist. 2,500 patients over 72 weeks, randomized to placebo versus the three different doses, 5, 10, and 15 milligrams. And the results were essentially 15% weight loss with the low dose, the 5 milligram tirzepatide.
It's pretty good. Still pretty good.
Damn good. 19.5% with the 10 milligram, 21% with 15 milligrams, and about 3%, again, kind of that typical lifestyle placebo group arm. And then
I think we're going to see, by the way, more people moving back to the 10 milligram dose.
Well, if people go back and listen to our first discussion on Surmount One, remember the 15 milligram did have a little bit more dropout due to adverse events, as I recall, but the 10 didn't. And the 10 is really where you get the most bang for the buck compared to the 5. The 15, you don't get a ton more.
Since our podcast on anhedonia, tons of people are reaching out and they're like, I think that's me. Basically, and they're not losing more weight on the 15. So I think we're going to see 10, it. Anyway.
10 is, from a kind of a real life clinical perspective, that's kind of the sweet spot. And then, I'm sure we talked about, the couple different trials that compared these in type 2 diabetes. So obesity complicated with type 2 diabetes, the SURPASS 2 trial had almost 2,000 patients in it over 40 weeks, compared all the different tirzepatide doses to semaglutide. Now, this was only 1 milligram, though, not the 2, not the 2.4. Right. They all had really good blood sugar improvements, 1.8% A1C reduction with semaglutide, 2%, 2.25%, and then 2.3% with the different tirzepatide doses.
That's amazing.
But 2, 4, and 6% more weight loss with tirzepatide. And as we discuss almost every podcast, it seems like people with obesity and type 2 diabetes do not lose as much weight as those who have not met the criteria for type 2 diabetes.
It's like 25%. So, it's like 25% less.
Yeah, it's a substantial amount less. and then for both of those medications, we know that over 2 to 3.5 years, they've been studied long-term now. So that 23% or so weight loss with tirzepatide over 3.5 years, 17% with semaglutide over a couple of years, those weight losses are sustained. And we've talked about the body composition, and we're not that concerned about the semaglutide lean mass loss that was, estimated to be a little bit more than expected. Tirzepatide, we talked about, didn't have that signal at all. The ratios were pretty similar. So then that brings us to Surmount 5. This would kind of surprise me. I guess I'm usually pretty up on when these things are coming out. I wasn't tracking this one.
It must have been the EASO.
EASO, European Association for the Study of Obesity meeting. Was that going on this week?
I think so. I'm pretty sure. For sure. I saw that Kyle post something about that.
Oh, yeah. All right. So bottom line, 750 patients, not a huge trial compared to those some other big ones, randomized 1-to-1 to the max tolerated. So either 10 or 15 of the tirzepatide Zepbound, and then 1.7 or 2.4 milligrams of semaglutide or Wegovy. And this was over 72 weeks. And about 85% of the people randomized completed it, 80% of the people in the actual trial arms. Only about 6 versus 8% tirzepatide, semaglutide of people discontinued for whatever reason. We can get to that later. Almost 90% of the tirzepatide people did receive the max dose of 15 milligrams. Now, we don't need to get into the weeds of if any of those people had to go back down like we're talking about, if people went back down to 10 or not, but most people got the max dose. 93% of people in semaglutide arm did at least get one dose of the 2.4 full dose. The average weight was 113 kilograms, which gave them an average BMI of 39.5. 118 centimeter waist circumference, average age 45, and same as all the trials, it seems like about 2/3 of them were females, and obviously most of them in this trial were Caucasian. What do you think? All right, ready for results?
Let's go. Yeah, let's hear it.
All right. Average weight loss in this trial, tirzepatide 22.2% versus 13.7%. So that's the average weight loss. I think that's a little surprisingly low for semaglutide, in my opinion.
Yeah.
To me.
It is.
I would have expected it to be more. Now, like you talked about the categorical weight loss, and this is where I think this should get more attention all the time, because when we talk about how much weight do people need to lose to achieve what actually matters, their clinical benefits, getting rid of diabetes, getting rid of sleep apnea, getting rid of fatty liver, improving their knee arthritis, we talk about 10, 15 or more percent weight loss. So how many people got 10% weight loss in this trial? 82% in the tirzepatide group, 61% in semaglutide group. For the 15% weight loss, about two-thirds, 65% in tirzepatide got over 15% weight loss, compared to 40%, so just under half, for semaglutide. Still pretty darn good. But then, just because these are so amazing, then we go to the 20% category. And it was just about 50% of people in the tirzepatide Zepbound group got 20% weight loss, compared to 27% with semaglutide. Then 25% categorical weight loss. 32%, a third of people who got Zepbound lost 25% of their weight, compared to just 16% of semaglutide. Again, both of those amazing results. They even had an extra category because I think it was about 15% or so, or 20% got 30% weight loss with tirzepatide, but it was only like 6 or 7 with semaglutide. I mean, these are bariatric surgery level amounts of weight loss. Yeah.
Incredible.
All right. Well, let's what else? We got to get to safety. But what are your thoughts
I want to know the tolerate, because everybody says Zepbound's better tolerated. The patients all say it.
Well, so the numbers in this trial may surprise you a little bit, but there are a couple little nuggets that I noted. So, in the grand scheme of things, almost about 75% of people complained of something, but there were only a few percent, 3 to 4.5%, adverse events just in general, serious adverse events in general. But discontinuation of the trial treatment because of adverse events, so people who are actually getting the medicine, it was 6% in the tirzepatide group, 8% in the semaglutide group, so a little bit higher, and the total was about 7%.
What about nausea?
What's that? So, well, most of those were from GI effects. Almost 3% tirzepatide and almost 6% people dropped out because of GI side effects. But the nausea was the same. Huh?
Ah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Everybody says it was
44% both. Nausea.
What about severity of nausea? There's got to be something.
Well, that's into the data. Because they discontinued.
Yeah.
Almost 6% of semaglutide discontinued from due to GI events, whereas it was a little less than 3% for tirzepatide. I think that's where we kind of see that and why we see it in real life, maybe. Because it's to the point where people are like, hey.
Yeah. But they have these special graphs that show like the individual level of and how much nausea over time,
like a waterfall
plot. Changes over kind of. I can't remember what. Anyway,
well, maybe we can get one of the authors to dig into some of those details.
Well, one of the MSLs could probably get us that data.
Yeah, but so let's just go through the different side effects. So 44%, it was basically even for nausea. 27% constipation with tirzepatide. 28.5% with semaglutide. It was identical, 23.5% for diarrhea. There was a little bit more vomiting with semaglutide, though. So 21% had some vomiting with semaglutide, only 15% with tirzepatide. So again, you talk about the severity, and I think that's where we tend to see it. Yeah.
That must be it. Yeah.
Other little things.
The vomiting is severe
horrible.
Nausea.
Yeah, that's pretty legitimate. So, but it's interesting. So the number of those that those specific things that led to discontinuation, it was only 2% in the semaglutide group of nausea and then 1% vomiting that led to discontinuation. It was basically the same, just a hint lower in the tirzepatide group. So, and there was like one case of pancreatitis in the semaglutide group. Hard to say if it was, you know, obviously related. We know all the meta-analyses don't really show that these are related, and certainly no concerns of death, certainly no cases of medullary thyroid cancer, anything like that, or pancreatic cancer. Yeah. So what are your thoughts?
All right. Yeah. So slightly better tolerated, maybe, but just more powerful. So you said, what is it? 13 something for the semaglutide average and then 20.
13 and a half whatever. Versus 20%.
I mean, that's just a big deal. That's 30% more powerful. Yeah. And just the responders is just like, because patients get very frustrated when they see their buddy losing 100 pounds and they, you know, whatever, relative, let's just say relative, they see their buddy losing 25% of their weight and they only lose 10% of their weight. That's, that can be quite discouraging. And your odds of getting that with semaglutide are just less, unfortunately. Now, they are studying a higher dose. We're going to see what happens there with semaglutide.
Also semaglutide combined with cagrilintide, which, you know, was a little just disappointing for them, but really not. I mean, it's still pretty darn good. On the level of tirzepatide.
Yeah, it's on the level of tirzepatide.
So there are some statistical possible explanations why the weight loss was a little bit lower than what we expected. And this goes back to one of our last podcasts about women. So obviously most of these trials or these trials have mostly women in them. And women tend to do a little bit better with the weight loss. Well, this one, while it was still about two-thirds females, it was a little bit higher in the percentage of men at 35%. Than in some of the previous trials. And because women tend to do better, they thought that maybe that explains the slightly lower weight reduction in this trial than in some of the previous trials or than what maybe people expected. So that could be possible.
Happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
It's Mother's Day.
Perfect.
Happy Mother's Day. We're going to have more on the sex differences with weight loss responders. We've been diving deep into this because there's a lot of hypotheses and a lot of hyperbole.
Hyperbole and hypotheses.
Hyperbolic hypotheses. Anyway, there's a lot to untangle there. We have to be careful with claims that we make and not just tell everybody to go on hormonal therapy to try to lose more weight, only when indicated, of course, as it can be a very powerful tool. We have a lot
talking
of
talking
about
lot menopausal of hormone therapy, by the way.
So menopausal. Oh, but guys will probably be like, whatever, give me testosterone too. But anyway. All right. Well, there you have it, folks. We all knew it. We all talked about the top line results before. Everybody kind of intuitively knew it. We could compare trials, but now you got the head to head data right there.
I mean, obviously we still have to wait for the true established cardiovascular outcome trial. For
yes, because if that, for well, some reason tirzepatide doesn't show a difference, then you could make the case that I don't know.
Well, at least for those with the highest risk, you know.
Yeah.
So for right now, we cannot. So for people who have established heart disease, especially in obesity, we cannot tell them that tirzepatide has been shown to reduce cardiovascular events. We can say it sure looks like it. In all the trials leading up to it, it sure looks like it will, and we fully expect it to, but we don't know for sure until it's published, like the Wegovy trials have shown. So we'll see. But otherwise, you know, maybe this will help Novo say, oh, maybe we do need to cut the cost in half for cash-paying patients.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. Hey, I know some Novo. We always say, Novo, I know you're listening. $200 semaglutide. I will write the hell out of your drug.
Yeah, that would be a big damn deal. This is still a really, really good medicine, even though head to head it loses to tirzepatide. If you can make it the cost effective option, boom, done.
People will do it. I promise.
Just it is coming off patent in a couple of years, I think, like in a year and change.
Well,
maybe.
For Ozempic, though, I think it's I don't know.
Same with the Victoza versus Saxenda. If that can turn into legitimate compounded generic versions, then, you know, maybe the cost will come down with that. And that's also okay. You know, I mean, people are ignoring these first generation medications we have, but, you know, those costs are really good.
The generic version of Victoza is super expensive still. It doesn't even make
sense.
Well, that's
what I mean. They got to find a way to bring that down too. But I'm talking about, you know, the other ones. They're all good medicines. I mean, but hey, we have... Liraglutide was the first. It was the OG cardiovascular risk reduction to be proven. So anyways.
All right.
We have options.
All right, folks. Send us to some friends and family who want to know the difference between the two drugs in terms of weight loss. Here's our outro.
This podcast is for entertainment and education and information purposes only. Remember, the physicians on this podcast are not your physician. It should not be considered professional or personalized medical advice. It should not be used to replace speaking with your physician or medical professional to discuss your specific health concerns. The topics discussed should not be used solely to diagnose or treat any condition. As a result, we are not responsible for any unwanted medical outcomes. The views and opinions discussed are of those of the host only and do not represent those of any other entities. We'll be right back.